It is the only way we have been willing to accept the growth that is our proper heritage. So we have to work day by day to build into our society, into our own personal lives, the basic principles that we believe. If 5% of the people of our creation, human beings, if 5% would be dedicated to principles, it would change the course of history. It isn't all necessary. It will all come. But if a few achieve and prove conclusively the reality, they will gradually draw to themselves all who are no longer hypnotized by the delusions and fantasies of worldliness. So at this time of Christmas, we are gaining here a new vision. We are celebrating the life of a great teacher who gave his life and gave everything to bring truth and wisdom and brotherly love to mankind. He has given it to us as citizens of the Western world, as of all the European nations and of the Western Hemisphere. We have been given this proof, and today and over the next week or two, we will be honoring the supreme symbol of the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. We will also be celebrating the wisdom, the love, the motherhood of reality, the motherhood of truth over all the sorrows of mankind. So we will celebrate this, and as a proof of our recognition, we will send Christmas cards and buy gifts and do all kinds of things. But after the ceremony is over, we go back again to the hard realities that we call necessary. We will go back again to doubt and to suffer because we cannot make these better things come true. But they can come true. We may not be able to change everything. But on this Christmas day, we could make changes in ourselves that might change the history of the world. We don't know. But the real problems of our eternal existence are forgotten. And we go back to the small problems of what our neighbors think of us or how much we're going to have to pay for gasoline. It's all centered here. And while we try to find the solution on the level of the problem, we will not succeed. It must be found by being upon a level above the problem, a level which permits us to see the facts as they are and not as tradition has established them. We've got to have the facts as they mean to us in solving the great problems of poverty, war, peace, and the universal destruction of essential elements of survival. We've got to watch out now about gasoline, about air pollution, food pollution, but all these things are lost in a great maze of the fact that if we make any important changes, we will be attacked directly in the pocketbook. And as a result of that, we'll suffer more than in any other way. Therefore, we won't make the changes unless we have to. But philosophy tells us that wisdom and truth have their own power. If we do not make these corrections, we will suffer more. And we will blame politicians, and we'll blame situations, and we'll blame nature for all these problems. But they really rest in our own inability to live within the universal means of the worlds to which we belong. We have got to keep the faith. We've got to keep within the reasonable proportions of existence. We've got to realize that more entities are coming in all the time, and we're going to have to take care of them. And the problem of a few achieving all and the rest left in bondage cannot go on. We've got to prepare for this out of this world, not a palace for a few, but a rest house for all passing through on a journey beyond the stars. We've got to build foundations in reality. We've got to start trying in a little way to practice what we preach. We've got to honor the ones who have given us the most, and honor them most by following the examples they have given us. We have all the need we need for Christmas this year, the examples of a great dedication and the immediate answer to a great need. There is nothing that is being celebrated on this Christmas that isn't part of a growth that we must all make. Here is the opportunity to end forever the griefs and the feuds. Here's the time to speak of the relatives we haven't talked to in 20 years. Here is the time to forgive the shortcomings of our neighbors and hope that they will forgive ours. The time of the great material success in which we sacrifice all to save face is gone. We've got to save the reality. And the reality is we are one creation on one planet in one solar system. And we've got to learn to live and like it. We've got to live to grow to prove that one solar system is big enough to take care of the growth of 10 times the number of beings that we have on Earth today. We can take care of many, many times if we take care of them in the spirit of truth. We cannot take care of them by making slaves of them or by various political chicaneries. We can, however, take them all and make a world of peace by doing it right. Morin's Utopia was one of the sons of Sapiens, and Bacon acknowledges this in one of his writings. But in Moore's Utopia, there was no problem such as we know it today. And this is a very interesting problem. Moore's Utopia was a large country, as large as France. It wasn't a little island somewhere. It was a country in which people had outgrown selfishness, that they had discovered that for that little moment of victory over their neighbor, they had paid by watching their worlds fall apart. And that out of the unselfishness and dedication of these people to the common good comes a peace that is not broken and a security that takes the worries and sorrows out of life. Now they'll say, well, there's not any room there for competition. And the nature says quietly, what is competition? It is nothing but a misstatement. It is a mistake. Competition is the effort to perpetuate selfishness forever. And you can't do it. Because ultimately, if you do not control and redeem selfishness, it will destroy you. So if we do not want to be destroyed by our weaknesses, we must achieve survival by our strength. We must find within ourselves the strength, the wisdom, the integrity to live according to the law. And if we do, we will suddenly find that we live in a universe of infinite love, that everything that has been done is for our own good, that everything is being done as a careful parent tries to take care of a child, and the child resulting in being frustrated goes out on its own, like the prodigal son, to have its own way, but must finally come back to the realization that there are truths that cannot be broken, and until we keep them, there will be no peace. So this Christmas, coming as we do to the very verge of this new generation that we're thinking about, seems to suggest that we try to do something in the form of personal inventory. That we go around thinking about little things that we can do. Did we have an unpleasant experience with a friend that said something we didn't like, so we haven't talked to them for 6 months? Let's get that out of the way first. Or somewhere along the line, we have been tempted to permit certain immoralities to pass unnoticed. Better take another look at that, too. Then we can say to ourselves, what have we done to try to get a little bit more money out of somebody else? What have we done to impose upon somebody else? How are we doing this? How are we doing that? Do we have someone who is in need, who needs a kindly word? Do we need to have a little stricter control of our own children? Do we need to censor our own television programming? Do we need to gradually build into our lives values? As we build one in, two comes out from inside. If we make one step forward, the stored up record of our past will come forward and give us another touch of intuition. Intuition is very largely the past reminding us of something, reminding us of things we skipped over too quickly, reminding us of thoughtfulness that we never exercised. We have friends and relatives, we have strangers in our midst. We also have power of legislation. We have an opportunity to vote for what we believe. Maybe we won't make it, maybe we will. But if we have a truth which we regard as important, we don't go out and fight and shoot people for it, but we quietly live it and pass it on to those who are willing. And as we pass one idea or one ideal on to another person, we pass the will of heaven. We pass the lamp across the open grave of materialism and pass it to a new generation. But we pass on the light, not the darkness. We pass on our achievements and not our vices. We pass on the progress and not our mistakes. And when the time comes to start the new century, we ought to be able to pass the lamp of our inner realization of what is right, and make that the great gift that we can make to the future. And each one of us, as we live through the span of our material existence, can share with those whom we love and who love us the wisdom and integrities that have come to us. We can forget all the griefs and grievances and remember the services that we have received, the love that has been given to us when we didn't even appreciate it, the sacrifices that were made for us and we have not even acknowledged. All along, we can gradually transform the uncertainties of ignorance into the certainties of truth. And in doing this, we pass on the lamp. We pass on the example of that which is right. And then you never know where that light is going to strike. And across the open grave of ages, the lamp still shines, for the great truths of life will never fail. But it is possible for each individual to reach out, to touch some part of it, and to take the lamp from someone whose hand is faltering. Though this every century must have not only those who support its economics and its industries, but those who love and respect its virtues, that recognize the tremendous privilege of sharing life, sharing love, sharing friendship. And if we share the best we have, we will pretty soon have a world that looks quite differently. That is one of the beautiful things about Christmas. No matter how poor we are, we have something to give, because in the soul of ourselves, there is always a wealth that we probably do not even realize. There is always the wealth of all that has gone before, the wealth of life after life, lived in every part of the world, in every level of society, always learning something better, always outgrowing the old and growing up to the new. This is a major emergency now. We've got to outgrow the old. We do not let it die. We do not curse it, because we know we needed it. We know that the mistakes that we have already made are the only hope that we have of doing it better in the future. If these mistakes had succeeded, all the laws of nature would have been frustrated. If for one moment vice has a victory over virtue, we are lost. But never in the history of the world has vice ever had a victory. It has merely been something that individuals took instead of the truth. And because of their taking that, they have died without the truth. So we all have something to look forward to. We have something that is locked within ourselves, perhaps for ages, for all of the history of the world, the history of space, the hopes of generations long vanished. In our hearts and minds are the ruins of empire, but also in our hearts and minds are the hopes of eternity. So if we get together and do something about this, we will join those sons of sapience, of wisdom, and we will in due time pass the lamp of our learning to the next generation. It must be a lamp worthwhile. And that's a lamp that doesn't need petroleum. It doesn't need any element that is in short supply. It needs only love and friendship, which have been in abundant supply for a long time, because no one has used them too much. There's plenty of them left. And with those fair thoughts, I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and hope that each one of you will take the little lamp of truth in yourself, let it light your life, and pass it on to those who come after you. Merry Christmas.